should have known that I'd come walking in here, there you'd be, eyes on fire, burning through me. I should be stronger, you should know better. Whatever, let's just live out the back of this bar. Straps sliding off your shoulder for a slip into that black car. Let me remember how those lips feel on mine. One more time. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Wreck my mind. Just live.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Slip, by Canadian country's rising star Sean Austin here on Music's Journey. The song has been killing it on country radio, and I think it's going to hit top 10 in the next couple of weeks. We're so looking forward to that. I don't know if you remember, but Sean Austin was a contestant for Canadian Idol. He tried out for that show, and I have some pretty amazing chats with him back then, so it's been great to watch this musical journey for him. Austin was also a season 2 finalist on NBC's Songland, pitching Florida Georgia Line as a contestant. In 2021, Austin launched a new chapter of his career, signing a global label deal with Local Hay and Big Loud Records. He released hits like top 5 hit Tailgate to Heaven featuring superstar Chris Lang. Another fan favorite title track, Planes Don't Wait, get you and his newest single to Canadian country radio, Slip. And now Sean Austin is heading out on the 27th for the first date on the Old Dominion's No Bad Vibes tour with Stephen Lee Olsen and Frank Hay. Here to talk about the upcoming tour and his new music that's around the corner is country artist Sean Austin. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's so good to have you back.
Yeah, I probably said this last time, but it's just nice to have these calls again and have it all happening and seeing everybody starting to kill it and do what we love to do all over.
Oh, I am so excited for you. What a way to kick off 2023.
It's been nice. I mean, you know, coming out of it in 2022 and having Dallas's tour be such a success, and then, you know, starting off this year pretty much the same way. It's nice. It's special to be part of something with a group like Old Dominion.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be going out on tour with Stephen Lee Olsen, and Frank Ray is going to be also on that tour as well for the Canadian dates, right?
Yeah. Stephen and I have known each other for a while, and it's, you know, I've done a couple shows, but I've never had a chance to tour with him, so it's going to be nice to hang with him and Frank. I've just met for the first time over the last couple months, and what a great dude. What a great show, and I feel like the lineups, it would be something, it would be a show I would go to if I wasn't part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. I'm hoping to see you guys out on the road for those shows. So we'll see what's coming up, but that would be awesome. I can't wait to see you live again. You are so cool. You are so good on stage, man. You are just hitting it really hard right now.
I appreciate it. I mean, as you know, it's 1,000 people that make this stuff possible. And I've always said obviously I'm biased, but I feel like I've always had the best team around me. And, now that things have kind of grown a bit and our team's gotten way bigger, it's just really lucky. I couldn't be in better hands.
Well, you've had so much coming together for you. We're going to talk about that teamwork in a little bit, because that's so important when it comes to everything that has happened for you. The nominations for the CCMA, again, you did so well with this latest song right now, Slip. Man, you just, this whole entire EP is phenomenal. It is such a great EP. I don't know how you're going to top it.
I appreciate it. I got to be honest. That was 2 years in the making for that EP. A lot of songs, a lot of really, we took our time with it. It has surprised me in so many ways. I've learned so many things from 6 songs. But I got to say that what we're doing right now for this next, the next project, I'm beyond excited about this new stuff. I think we've kind of changed our game a bit. Ooh. Now, and I think it's still everything that I've tried to be over the years, but I don't know. I think we're starting to really hit the nail on the head. And I'd like to, cautiously say that I'm hoping to top this last EP.
Wow, that says something because you've got such killer vocals first off, but your songwriting is really, I imagine it has changed quite a bit. And like you said, that team that you have behind you, combining all of that, the experience that you've got now is just incredible, the amount of change. Do you notice that yourself? Just that different aura about you?
I do. I think it's, I really, maybe I shouldn't, but I play on my financial background. I used to be an advisor. And it's always kind of, you learn these things when you're building a business or you're, the business of anything, is obviously growth, but there's kind of traditional milestones that you look for. And I think when, after being, once we passed that 5-year mark of being at this stage, that's when I started to feel a little more comfortable as an artist, and I could, I guess the walking on eggshells thing has stopped a little bit, and feeling a little more confident in the studio and in songwriting, and taking a little more of a driver's seat in how everything goes now has been nice, and it's put me in a place where, I feel a little more confident taking some bigger risks, and I it's kind of just coming into my own as an artist has been a neat process, and that's why I think this once we finish this next I don't know what it's going to be yet, EP or album. When we finish this next project, I'm hoping to surprise myself again, and also learn so much along the way.
You do, right? You just along that journey, you see so much more development, so much more really the sounds that you want to develop on your own, what you want to be known for, and that only comes with time and experience.
Exactly. And I mean, you might have heard me say this too before, when I'm such a mutt when it comes to music, as far as, I pull influence from so many places. Country is my backbone, it's my foundation, it's everything I am. But it's kind of fun to see what influence, a little essence of a few different genres kind of does for things. And we're not, I mean, we're certainly not going outside of the box. Slip, our current single, is a bit of a different story in that regard. That one was a song that I thought was a little bit too envelope pushing to be a single. But again, like I said, I love being proven wrong and learning as we go on. So,
We're gonna be playing
there's.
that one. We're gonna be playing that one in a little while because we've got
I appreciate
some
it.
of the other ones that we're gonna be playing too. Because I really want to showcase this EP again because there's just so much about it and so much that the fans really connected with. And there's just, yeah, special, special work. And like we said, it's just setting that stage for what's coming this year. And I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what you come
Here's
up with.
hoping.
Yeah. Your voice could hit hard in rock. It could hit hard in so many genres. The blues side of it as well. You've just got such a special vocal gift, boy. Really, really
Well, thank you. I
special.
mean, it's being under Dallas's wing for a long time has kind of forced me to, in a good way, to raise my game as a vocalist. And I mean, it's certainly a place, all the years in restaurants and bars, and certainly not doing the right things to my voice over those years, but it gave me a confidence that if at least I know that I can hopefully connect with people in that way, if nothing else.
I
But
think
it's, you know, it's
so. I think you're already
I like
doing that.
you know, we're trying if nothing else. And I'm if it's working, then great. I mean,
Oh
it's
man,
such a fickle industry, but I wouldn't change it for anything.
that's what we're here for, is just to keep letting you know how good you are because you are one of the artists that I get requested for all the time in Australia as well as the UK. So I'm constantly playing your music and
That's
it's just
amazing.
yeah, you don't realize just how much you've touched people globally, and that's pretty cool. Very cool.
And it's you don't. This is why I love the live show so much, because that's my barometer. That's where I go, okay, this is why I do what I do. I'm lucky beyond belief to be able to do it, but that's where the soul fulfillment comes for me, where you see somebody you've never met in your life singing a song back, and then, you know, if, and those even luckier chances where you get to talk to a fan and you hear their side of the story on why what they heard in a song or why they listened to it. It's, and like you said, if we're, you know, now that it's growing so much to throughout Australia and Europe, I mean, it's, music's cool.
Crazy,
it's
eh?
Just the great equalizer.
Oh, man. The trajectory that artists can go on now is just so unexpected. But that's the one good thing that's come out of COVID, is just that universal play of music that is just touching people, but more available to everybody. And it just gives everybody that you know, playing field, that you're not just going by, the fans aren't just going by what's played on radio. They have a choice to what they can listen to. And it's just, I love it. I love that part about it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it makes us work harder as artists. Which is exactly what at least I want. And I know that it's a bit of a divisive conversation when you talk about music consumption, but from my perspective, more music's better.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, even though the pressure's there to put, you know, to increase your output, I mean, that's, why wouldn't you want to do that? And if you have the opportunity and people want to hear what you're doing, it's a win-win for everybody.
And I think the playlist too play such a big part when it comes to the fans too, because they could listen to an EP from front to back. And as you know, there's only so many songs that get put to radio or get picked up by radio. And sometimes radio, you know, misses a lot. And well, we know it does. So it's just nice to be able to see fans push that envelope and bring some of these songs forward, you know, that are just absolutely incredible, that just aren't played on radio. And sometimes fans don't listen from front to back like they used to, you know, not like I used to, right? It's just that they'll listen to the song that's, you know, put forward on radio, and they'll skim through a lot of the rest of it, right? But man,
this, I mean, when I guess the way I look at it now too, or the way that I kind of calm myself about it, is just the fact that, you know, you hope that when a listener does maybe find you for the first time, that there's some excitement if they like what they're hearing, that they then go to look at the profile on whatever streaming platform and go, oh, there's, look at all this music. Look at everything that is there. It's not just a brand new person with one song that's brand new on the scene. It could be somebody who's been out there for a while, who's been, for whatever reason, they just haven't connected with that listener yet. And I mean, me as a music lover, I do that all the time, where I'll find an artist that's been out for 6-7 years who I didn't give the time of day to, but then you realize how much they've done, and it's fun. It's like hitting the jackpot.
That's why I like doing shows like this, because when I'm doing the radio show, a lot of the time it's just, you know, where are you going to be playing? What's the new song? Tell us about it, your writing process, and then that's it. And we don't have time to really talk anymore. That's why I love doing this edition to my radio show. And now, you know, with radio picking it up globally, you know, artists get to, or fans get to hear so much more about you guys. And I love digging in and learning the influences and just, you know, where you're at in this journey in music. And it's such a cool venue to be able to use this platform.
Huge. And we appreciate it like crazy, because like I said, it's nice to humanize the process and who we are and who everybody is that is music, makes music, writes music, loves music. It's just, I don't know. I guess it's, I mean, we're still, streaming is what, only 10 years old. And
I know.
I think we're still just scratching the surface on how it can be utilized and how the industry will change with that. But it's, you know, it's just
pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It's fun. It is.
And the fans also get to check you out more, because a lot of the artists during COVID came forward and were spending more time on live streaming platforms, just connecting with fans, which they never saw before. Not like that.
Yeah. Thank God for technology.
Oh,
you know,
man.
If we didn't have that for 2 years, that would have we would definitely be in a very different spot. But
Music changes the
that being
world.
said, as
Yep.
great as it was, and I'm happy we had it, I hope we never go back because,
Oh.
just seeing faces again has been so nice.
I definitely do not want to go back. A lot of great things have
Yeah.
come out of it, but man, oh man, I do not want to go back. No,
We're
no,
all
no, no.
good now.
That's right. We've all had enough. Live music is back. I am so excited for that. And we've been all
100%.
waiting for that. Last year was such a refresher. Just so great to get out there and start listening to that again and seeing live performances more normalized, not quite to where we needed it to be, but pretty close. It was pretty
Yeah.
awesome last year.
Yeah, it's our summer was great. The festivals were like they'd never like we never missed a year. Like we never missed a beat.
Well, you were coming off of the Some Things Never Change tour with, as we said, country star Dallas Smith and the James Barker Band, also Country Thunder. Tell us about what it was like to be able to get out there finally and start playing this new EP.
I felt a couple years older for sure. I thought I was keeping myself in really good shape, but when you're on the road, it's a totally different game. And
Lot,
I remember
lots
the
of stuff.
first couple nights on the bus, it took an extra few days to settle in, and you're huffing a little harder after a show for the first couple. And but that was the biggest takeaway I think I had from it all.
Oh, really?
But once the summer kind of hit and we were in full stride, like I said, it's like I feel like we didn't miss a beat. And if anything else, as a band, as musicians, as everything, we got tighter. And I saw that across the board. Everybody, like it was just nice to be a fan in a crowd again too.
Definitely.
It's as we're the country community is such a family-oriented world that, our backstage hangs with everybody, and being on these festival dates, you're so happy to be able to do it yourself and do our jobs as artists, but then to grab a beer and watch your friends kill it as well, it's pretty awesome, and it's and I don't know, it was fun.
It's different. It's so different. I started out with rock and I was doing Edge Fest and all of that stuff and covering the Junos and just so many different venues that I regularly covered. And I wasn't doing as much in the country genre and it just kind of landed in my lap where I do all genres now on the show, but I do so many country artists, and it's so different going to those festivals. It's night and day. And
Oh,
they are
completely.
just diehard fans and they know every word. They just are so amazing to watch and seeing all the artists support each other. It is just such an incredible family.
And there's since I started, just the open arms have always been there. And I don't know. I don't know many other worlds or businesses or industries where that happens. I mean, we're all competing. We all want to, be the best we can in our careers, but to have this many people also root for you that you're competing against, it's special.
Nothing like it. I don't think there's
Nothing
any
at
other
all.
genre that is like that, and I just absolutely love it. Tell us about what it was like to be called to be the flagship artist for signing on the Canadian-based imprint for Loyal Hay and Big Loud Records.
Shoulders got a little heavy. it was, but it's, I don't
Thrown into the
know.
fire you were.
Yeah, it was, what do they call that? A promotion in the field, or it's an old military term, but I can't think of it right now. But it's, what a compliment from folks that I've looked up to for years and years and years and years, long before I ever thought that I was going to be able to be an artist. I've known who this team is and who this group is, and when they say that, you've done enough to be the person we want you to be, and we have trust in you to be this person to kick off a new venture. I mean, the nerves go, the stress might increase a little bit, but as scary as all that can be, like I said before, the family that I'm with and the team I'm with makes it, it's just exciting. It's a privilege. It's a compliment, but it just gives me such hope that I've been offered the greatest chance I could ever have to really take this as far as we can go. So it's,
Wow.
I'm doing my part as best as I can, and I really hope to make everybody happy in the long run.
Well, I think you are doing a phenomenal job. And Big Loud Records, man, Dallas Smith must be so excited. He knew as soon as he heard your voice. I did too. I've been around since you started this journey, and as soon as I heard your voice, I went, oh, he's got a career. He's definitely got a career in this business. So, yeah, that's pretty special, that team you got behind you. What has it been like blending your old team and your incredible new team? That's got to mean quite a bit.
Yes, but it's been flawless with zero speed bumps, and I don't think that ever happens. But
No.
it's, I mean, at the end of the day, the Steelhead team has been very tightly intertwined with the Big Loud team since their inception. And I would be lying if I said that, knowing that, I always kind of hoped that there was going to be an opportunity to somehow work together or mix things. I never thought it was going to happen as quick as it did. That was certainly probably the biggest silver lining that came out of the pandemic for us, was just having that time to figure out what that looks like. But I mean, that's to I knew of these folks when I was a fan of Nickelback, because there's so many key players that came from that world, and you just kind of see what they've done over the years, and you're going like, ah, these are legends already, and I get a chance to be involved with this now, and I lost nobody. There was no Our team stayed, basically tight-knit as it's ever been, and
They really
it's just
appreciate
been.
it too because they work so hard, at everything. And,
Do they
just
ever?
building that brand for you and for it to blend together is unusual, to be able to
Yeah.
carry both teams together and not lose anyone. That is awesome. Amazing.
Back to the family feel of country, and this little mini family within it has been beyond anything I could have asked for.
How do you describe your success in one word the past 2 years?
Ooh. I think I'd refer to it as a slow burn. And I've always been like that. I've always, if I go way back into my first passion being baseball, and I managed to play at a decent level in that, but slow burn was always a big part of what I tried to do. I think for me, there's a speed in which a career, a business, a venture can grow. And if you move too fast, you're toast. If you take too slow, too long, you're toast too. But there's something about being methodical and not jumping the gun and really trying to polish everything as things go. And hoping that you're afforded the ability to level up as that happens. But I think it took me 5 years, like I said before, to find myself as an artist and to really get comfortable in the industry. And now that we're, in my eyes, I'm hitting that precipice where hopefully we can take a bit of a bigger jump now. And that's, it's kind of been just a back of mind mentality for a long time.
It's a good thing though, and I think it's something that I hope a lot of young artists out there listen to. And that's a great way to look at it. Instead of,
Yeah.
hey, I just want to have that hit record right now, get on the radio, they rush, rush, rush. And then once that record, comes and goes, it's
Yeah.
really it can really crush you, this business. And going at
Yeah,
it
well,
slow is
that's,
smart.
well, you have to go at it slow, and you have to keep your preconceived notions about it in check, because it's, I mean, I got a lot of friends in the early days when the first time you get on the radio, they think that you're done, you've made it, your career is set, and on you go. And it's, there's so many more steps. You just kind of, there's no, I guess the other way I think about it is you've never really made it. If you ever feel like you've made it, your career's done. There always should be something you're pushing towards, and keeping, making sure that, especially as new artists, making the patience you need is enormous, and there is trust in the process, provided you have a great team around you. But you can't. I mean, yeah, like you said, we've seen so many new artists disappear just because they've lost
I think they lose, like,
courage.
yeah, I think they lose the whole idea of what they started playing music for, what they loved about it, because they focused too much on the radio station and not just writing for writing music that you love. You learn as you're going through different sessions, writing sessions, and writing with as many people as you can, and that's always
Absolutely.
developing and pushing yourself. But it's just remembering what you love, and you'll know that. And that's where you're at now, is you're starting to listen to that music and go, you know what? I really like this, because you're that nervousness has all gone away, and now you're sitting in that pocket and knowing what you want to do and what you're capable of.
And then the finding who you are authentically. That's got to be
Big
the
key.
hardest thing that anybody can do, because you have to learn yourself, and you have to trust yourself. And who I thought I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and today are very different things. But that's the fun part, and that's, I guess, part of growing and maturing and just figuring this world out.
That's right. I remember talking to Dean Dillon when I had him on the show last year, and him talking about that in knowing when to step away. He knew what he was good at. He knew he had a certain type of songwriter, one of the best in the business. You sit in a room and listen to him play. But he knew when to step away and what he could do in this business, and it took some time, you know, for him as well. And we'll be talking a little bit more about his daughter, who co-wrote Slip, which we're going to be talking about. It's just incredible the amount of experience that you gain just in this business, and just taking that time and really listening to yourself. Let's talk about your debut EP, Planes Don't Wait, because this one has just hit after hit in this EP for you. And one of them we're going to be talking about right off the top, and that is Tailgate to Heaven, featuring country superstar Chris Lang. Tell us about getting pitched that song.
There's certain songs that come along that you kind of go, oh God, first off, I wish I wrote it. Secondly, this completely triggers a whole bunch of emotion in who I am, and certainly who I was at the time. And you kind of think that, okay, we've this is a special one. We have to treat this one well. And initially, that wasn't supposed to have Chris on it. Chris, we were going to do a different track, and he heard this song and he goes, do you guys like, I love this song too. Do you guys mind? And all I hear is that it's another artist who's getting the same feeling about the same song. And I'm already a fan of Chris, and I'm going, how do we make it better? Let's get him on it. Like, he's asking to. So why wouldn't we? Easiest guess I've had in forever. And it just kind of compounds the fact that this is going to be a good one. And this is, Chris I was a fan of his before I had ever had a contract. And now from that to having him as a buddy, it's wild. You
Wow.
know,
What a
it's,
journey for your debut single for the CP. And on the label, everything that's just, just hitting the ground running for you. Everything's just lining up perfect. And this song was one of it for you, man.
It's so true.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is the hit single Tailgate to Heaven by country artist Sean Austin, featuring superstar Chris Lang, here on Music's Journey.
Streets of this town ain't paved in gold, but there's a Texaco star. Lights up the start of a gravel road that ends into the dark. It'll take the wheels of your truck and your girl up above the clouds. Cut the engine off, turn the radio on, drop the tailgate down. Then it's moonlight. Angel eyes high on a hill, the kiss is the sky. Leaning
That was the hit single Tailgate to Heaven featuring superstar Chris Lang, a fan favorite by country's fastest rising star Sean Austin. Tailgate to Heaven also was nominated for Single of the Year for the CCMAs in 2022. We just played the hit single Tailgate to Heaven featuring Chris Lang off your debut EP Planes Don't Wait. The album was produced by Scott Cook. Tell us about working with Scott on this EP.
Scott's been part of everything since before I knew he would be part of it all. Mm. I met Scott 6 or 7 years ago in Vegas because he was playing bass for Dallas Smith. And we hit it off talking about music and a whole bunch of other things. But what I didn't realize at the time was that he was a partner with Steelhead, mm-hmm. and how closely he worked with Joey Moy for all of those years during the Nickelback records and the development of Florida Georgia Line, and the list goes on. And we, everything that we've done over the last 5 years, not only has his music expertise enhanced everything tenfold, but just having that that wealth of knowledge on just how the industry works. Mm-hmm. has been so, beyond valuable that I would have made a lot more mistakes along the way had he not been part of this. So it's been a really synergistic relationship. He's a business partner, but also one of my best buddies.
He must have been so happy when he heard your voice and just biting at the bit, to be able to work with you.
I hope so. The fact that I got a contract extension was a good sign, I guess.
Just a little bit.
But it's been nice because even our relationship has gone from, just very business and all that to kind of having this chance to be musicians in the studio at the same time, really create as we go along. And it's, I think, as my career goes on and as our songs change as I develop. It's been kind of cool to just work together as creative minds, as opposed to just, recording a song. It's got a lot more depth to it now.
Well, Scott, working with Florida Georgia Line too, you also were the finalist on the hit TV show for the NBC's Songland, where you were a contestant singing one of Florida Georgia Line's songs.
Yeah, I mean, that was a masterclass in songwriting.
I bet.
It was a whirlwind 2 weeks that felt like 2 hours, and I wished it felt like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
It was learning from, everyone has a different process, whether it's producing, songwriting, musicianship, just the industry in general. And, you know, having Esther Dean, Shane McAnally, and Ryan Tedder, who I've been fans of all of them for so many years. Ryan Tedder, One Republic, has been such a massive band to me. Shane McAnally, legend in country music writing, and Esther, legend in pop writing and R&B. Like, you kind of go, how am I standing here? And then how am I pitching a song to Florida Georgia Line? It's very, very surreal experience, but I learned more in 2 weeks than I think I've had in years in other ways. And it kind of, not only has it, have I made some great friends out of that show that I still work with today.
Nice.
But it just kind of relit. Well, it didn't relight, but it made the fire so much bigger to just put more focus on my songwriting as well. And I'm excited that that's going to be a, there's going to be a lot more of that in the years to come.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I know when we talk about going to Nashville and going to those writer rounds and your writing sessions, it is like being on steroids when it comes to what you do here in Canada. I know we have a lot of great writers here too, but it's a different experience when you're going to Nashville. But to be on a live show like that, and or like a reality show, it is crazy the amount that you take away from something like that. And everybody talks about it. And it's so nice that you had that kind of experience with it. It's such a great show.
Yeah, and you know, you always, you know, when you see these reality shows, you kind of hope that when those contestants or whoever's on it, they say that, oh, like, I've made a great friend or great friends out of this. You hope that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And at least now I've had the experience in my case to say that it is true. Like, it's you really do pull, and not just the contestants I was with, but there's folks that were NBC employees and different directors of the show that I still keep in contact with, just because, you know, we're all in a crazy world, and there's just so much. I understand why these shows continue to go on, because there's a lot more than just the entertainment value that comes from them.
It's changed, and I really love the landscape now when it comes to these types of shows in comparison to when we started out with Canadian Idol and all of that stuff. It's been a big, big change, and I absolutely love this show. It's such a cool show.
Yeah.
Really,
I got
really
booted
good.
From, I got booted from Canadian Idol twice, and
I remember.
Canada's Got Talent way back when.
Do you remember? See, I was there, and that's where I started watching your progression in music. And I talked to you backstage, so I don't know if you remember that or not, but there was, it goes
way
back,
way
you
back.
And I. Yes.
I didn't realize that. See, what a perfect, oh, that's right. What a perfect example of how this
full
industry
circle.
Doesn't, you know, there's just so much goodness to it. And I love that. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I never put that together.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that when I had you on the show last time, because that's when I recognized, I went, man, you know, he's got something special. And I remember talking to the producers about that. And just talking to you backstage and just seeing where you were at, what success looked like to you. And I know you were really nervous during that whole process too. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And all the contestants at the back. Yeah, everybody was.
We're going back. we're going back. How old am I now? We're going 12, 13. It's amazing.
I know. Well, so many of the artists I work with today, like Theo Tams, like there's so many of them that did so well on that show. But yeah, I keep in touch with everybody. Everybody.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. As I said, you have worked so hard to cement your place here in Canadian country music. With the landscape of country music changing so much, what has been the biggest challenge for you so far?
Cutting through is always hard. You know, there's a lot of competition, and I'm a competitive guy. I compete with myself probably more than anything. But that's kind of back to where I was saying with the patience. Like, you have to really just trust the process, and there's no, an overnight success really does take 15 years. And, I think as I hopefully continue to develop. The market now, I feel like, is getting smaller in a good way, in the sense that even though everyone goes down to Nashville, there's no Canadian stigma anymore.
It's not true. Like,
oh, the separation is disappearing. And that's something that I would imagine, just it's, as I mean, artists have always been incredible. Shania broke down a lot of doors in that sense. Paul Brandt broke down a lot of doors in that sense. Dallas has been doing it like crazy for the last couple of years. And
look at James Barker band, like you got Michelle Wright, you got so many of them, Carolyn Don Johnson, so many of them have done so
pioneers
well
of trying to break down those walls. And not that it's necessarily been a challenge for me, but it's something that you certainly recognize, but it's making, it makes, I just think it holistically makes our world, our music world, better, because it's just elevating music even more. And we're putting a little bit of pressure on US artists, which is fun, just because we're able to do it just as good as anybody else, you know.
Well, and you're showing that the Calgary Stampede. I know that through COVID there, we only had, like, we always have US artists and we have Canadian artists and artists from all over the world that come into that show. And then during COVID, we just, nobody knew how the show was going to be when we just had Canadian artists on the stage, because we couldn't, we didn't have the borders open at the time. And the fans loved it. They absolutely loved focusing on the Canadian artists and seeing how much, I think it opened up the eyes of our fans, you know, here in Canada, how much talent we have here. And it's been incredible to watch the journey for Canadian artists. Vince Gill comes to mind for me always when I think of breaking down borders.
Vince Gill, I think, is just one of those guys that if you could pinpoint like a true ambassador just for music.
Huge.
That's Vince Gill.
Yeah.
There's stars. We have massive artists who have been incredibly successful in so many different ways. But then somebody says Vince Gill, and everybody in a room, regardless of what they do, who they are, what their world is, goes, okay, like, this is the true class act of musicians, you know. And it's that he's different altogether for me, like a music god.
Oh, absolutely. And you can hear a pin drop every single time you sit there and you get in a room with him, no matter where he's playing. People pay attention to his lyrics. He is just such an incredible songwriter, and he writes for so many artists out there, but man, he is just something else. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him.
No, it's a passion and a respect for being a student of music that you just don't see often.
So true. Now let's talk about some of the other songs off of this EP that have done so well for you. Get You, and you've got obviously the title track, Planes Don't Wait. What was that one like for you?
You know, it's hard, because it's this one was such a, I had so much time to really learn, find these songs, I guess, find their meaning, find what I was trying to pull out of them. And each one represents something very, very true to who I am, just as a person, and things in my life that I've experienced. And I don't know, this EP is going to go down as obviously something that I'm going to have to raise the bar from,
I'm just telling you, you're gonna have a hard time. I'm just telling you.
But it's also such a, it's just a, this is such a culmination of who I am as a person for this stage of where I'm at. And it's going to go down as just a more personal body of work that I was recording this, you know, before and after getting married, and thinking about my relationship with my wife, and you know, different moments that you connect with, and trying to put that into a song and do it justice, is, it's tough, but it's, and I think we did it on this one. And I just kind of now figure out how to keep moving in that same trend.
As I said, it's just so much about this album that we could just go on about. We've talked a lot about so many issues, you know, that have gone on with younger artists and what happens with them. Planes Don't Wait reminds me of that too. There's so many different meanings you can attach to the song. And but you know, if you don't embrace life and you don't embrace your art and just everything that you do creatively, the next plane's going to take off without you. You know, it's just, I don't know, like Planes Don't Wait just really is such a cool song, the way that that song played out to me.
And that, yeah. And I know that it's the song itself focuses around losing, a special somebody in a relationship, mm-hmm. but in as important as that is, there's so many in my head. I always went back. I still kind of go back to my first time when I went to Nashville, and I literally walked up and down Music Row and I knocked on those doors trying to just learn something, talk to the right people, get in the right rooms. And I got no after no after no after no after no. And to me, the thing Planes Don't Wait is just that you, whatever you want in life, in anything, mm-hmm. you got to figure out a way to go get it. Planes Don't Wait. Go find it.
Never give
get
up.
Get on the plane, you know, find the things that make you happy. There's going to be sadness along the way with that, but hopefully ultimately it makes you a stronger person.
I don't think that without having the nose and without those challenges, you wouldn't have the fire and the drive to make this craft the very best that it can possibly be for yourself. I just can't see that happening. You know, you got to have
it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Every time I go down there now, and it grounds you. You think about the fact that, like, you know, when I tried, I failed. I failed again. I failed again. I failed again. I failed again. Now that we're starting to see some success, it almost continues to ground you because you remember those times when it didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes you appreciate the wins that much more.
Well,
and
that working hard
removes your
for
expectations.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
Working so hard for it and feeling what that feels like when it finally starts coming together like this. It's got to be a pretty special moment. We are going to play this one right now. Here is the title track, Planes Don't Wait, by country artist Sean Austin, here on Music's Journey.
Get old, and family farms get sold. Some will never last forever. They pave over older roads. And she's over me. Yeah, she's over me. She's at 37,000 feet, halfway. Made a U-turn and came back home. I guess it's all finally hitting me, wishing that she misses me, but she don't. She's at 37,000 feet, halfway to California. And I'm running these power lines, putting in overtime here in Georgia. Chalk it up to a one-way ticket, didn't get it, now I'm sitting here missing her. Time don't stop, flies by.
Another fan favorite, and that was Planes Don't Wait, the title track off the debut EP for Sean Austin. There is so many hits on this 7-track EP. You can download Planes Don't Wait on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist. You can also request any of the songs at your local country radio station. Let's talk about the song that was pitched to you by one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and that's Jesse Joe Dillon. And there's there's a couple artists, I think it was Zach Cale as well, and John Knight that was on that one too.
For
Slip, because Slip is just such a phenomenal song. Highest right now, isn't it, off this album?
It's the fastest growing. I think we're on the doorstep of maybe going top 10 on it at the moment. But, the timing's great with the tour, and, you know, we'll see what kind of legs it has. I've had the pleasure of working with Zach Cale on a few things. So first off, to get a pitch from him is always really special, just because of the connection that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Joe Dillon and John Knight, I haven't worked with them yet. I haven't had a chance to meet them, but obviously being a country songwriter fan, you know, you go in when you see certain names on songs, you kind of get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one that out of the gates, I was a huge fan of. Now, I will say I absolutely thought that it was going to be a little bit too envelope pushing to be a single.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was a track that I thought was going to be. I love the sultriness, the sexiness, the kind of dark, you know, nightclub kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Got that rock element too, right? Guitar,
I felt it was going to be a fan favorite that maybe was just a little too much for the, you know, the standard country sound.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, I'm not the one that picks all the time, because it might not have seen the light that it deserves, and thank God it's getting it right now. And it's been a blast to play live, which is everything we do, everything I do. I try to focus on the live show.
Mm.
But I love this track, and all my musician friends are like, "Oh, that's the best guitar line you've had yet. That's the best."
That's what I mean.
You know, the low end is so cool.
Yeah, I love picking out the guitar part in the song, because that's kind of where you started this whole journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's you're absolutely spot on. If it wasn't, it was guitar that made me learn everything. And it was Stevie Ray Vaughan and B.B. King and obviously Keith Urban and John Mayer and all these guys. And so, I mean, I do gravitate to the guitar sound, and that's a very important aspect for me. But this one just kind of was so different for us that I've never done before. And, you know, it's a little bit of a nod that we're going to stay in this lane a little bit. It's not going to be always a sound, but it's just fun to create some diversity.
Well, I think too, and fans get used to it too, that, you know, there's just a certain sound that you want for this particular project. It doesn't mean that it's not going to, you know, switch up some more, on the next one.
Yeah, as you said before, you know, it's either, nobody's really necessarily, or not as often, are people putting out albums that you're supposed to listen to back to front.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think of
you got
like
some happy
Queen.
Campers in the background.
I got some. My dogs are going wild. Who knows why?
It's like, not mine this time. This is good.
I got three walking doorbells that are just nuts sometimes. But, you know, I think back to Queen albums, mm-hmm. where you listen to that album back to front and you're getting so many different types of music, that you never get that ear fatigue. Mm-hmm. You never need like when you go smell a bunch of perfumes or colognes, you need the coffee to change your scent. Yeah. You don't need that with those kind of albums. Mm-hmm. It's so I love kind of being able to jockey between a few different sounds, mm-hmm. and it's kind of something I'm hoping to keep going.
Nice. I'm excited about that. That's the one thing that I picked up right away and went, oh, this is cool, because that's what I kind of remembered, you know, from the beginning part of your journey, and you know, just that guitar that you love so much. And when we talked about, you know, B.B. King, and we talked about Stevie Ray Vaughan, and when I met Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think it was maybe 5 years before I had talked to you, in a very small venue. And I was telling you the story, very small venue in Toronto before he played live on the big stage. And it's just a lot of the bigger artists come in to do that. And there was maybe 20, maybe 25 people that it could fit in there. And sitting that close to him and listening to him play is just, and my love of guitar came from there. That's just one of the things for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what that experience would have been like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play this one right now. Here is the latest single, Slip, off the debut album, Planes Don't Wait, by country's rising star, Sean Austin, here on Music's Journey.
I guess I should have known on fire, but it threw me. I should be stronger, you should know better. But whatever, let's just slip out the back of this bar. Strap sliding off your shoulder for a slip into that black car. Let me remember how those lips feel on mine one more time. Come on, baby, come on, baby, wreck my mind. Just slip, say things you don't need. Let your body slip back into my hands, even though we know where it is. Come on, baby, come on, baby, baby, let's just slip. Hearts, hearts want what they want. Maybe we can't say there's nothing left when you wrap your arms around my neck. While we're waiting on a last call, we're on the edge, about to fall. So let's slip out the back of this bar. Strap sliding off your shoulder for a slip into that black car. Let me remember how those lips feel on mine one more time. Come on, baby, come on, baby, wreck my mind. Just slip, say things you don't need. Let your body slip back into my hands, even though we know where it is. Come on, baby, come on, baby, baby, let's just slip. Before you slip through my fingertips, give me something I can miss. Baby, let's just slip. Say things you don't need. I'll tell you how nobody gets me the way you get me. Why can't you let your body slip back into my hands, even though we know where it is? Come on, baby, come on, baby, baby.
That was Slip. This one is climbing and climbing the charts. The latest single for country's fastest rising star, Sean Austin. It was number one, one of the most added songs for the first 2 weeks that, you know, it continues to be one of Austin's most streamed tracks to date. So I'm looking at top 10, guaranteed. I can tell you that without a doubt for country radio. Such a great song. Don't forget, you can download Slip on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, share it, and you can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Now, you just released the lyrical video to Slip not that long ago.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's just, there's a few reasons why we do it. But this one, you know, it's I love them because it kind of gives a really quick look into how I think the vibe that I want to try to portray with the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of fun to get a little outside of the box and give it that smoky nightclub, dark, you know, being on roads kind of vibe.
Yeah. It's that flirty side of that possible love interest, right? Kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to, you know, before not every song gets a full blown music video, so this is a nice way that we can still get a little creative and give the listener a version of a visual.
I have to tell you, when I was going through all the songs for this interview, I came across a song I've never heard, and I don't know how I didn't.
Uh-huh.
And is it Alone Time or Time Alone?
Time Alone.
Time Alone. Man. Time Alone. I posted it on my Facebook personal page there, and I have been playing it nonstop.
So that's been a kind of a secret one. It was the last track on an old project that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that way back when, and that was, to be honest, the concept that I had in my mind at the time was I loved Brian McKnight's,
oh, you're speaking to my heart right now.
Yeah, but I'm spacing on the title. I'm so bad with song titles. Even my own songs, I forget all the time. Started back at one,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he goes. So mm-hmm. I wanted something along those lines. Never intended it to kind of come out the way that it did. But this song has been a personal favorite just because of how many people have used it in really special moments in their lives. A lot of people have used it for their wedding songs and just different events. And I've connected with people so much because of that track.
It pulled on my heartstrings. I am telling you. And I was talking about it today. Sandy Graham, she's just phenomenal when it comes to music here in Canada. And I said, you got to listen to this song. And she's sitting there going, you know what? I haven't heard that one either. And I don't know how either one of us missed that.
A well-kept secret.
A well-kept secret. There's just so much that you have done this past 2 years. I mean, you are on fire. Cannot wait to hear what you've got in store for us for 2023. Do you have an idea when you're going to be coming out with the next single?
I would like to say sooner than later. We've got dates floating around. And I hate doing it, but I got to do that cryptic thing where I can't really say.
It's, come on.
It's soon-ish.
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 Okay, so that, May,
I don't know if I could
June.
Be more vague. I think that's reasonable. I think, April, May, June, somewhere. Hope, for my own personal reasons, I would love it to be April, May.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see kind of where things fall.
Well, you're also heading out on this weekend for the Old Dominion No Bad Vibes tour, as we said, with Stephen Lee Olson and Frank Ray. You must be so excited for that. And again, you're going to be playing all the EP. It's going to be amazing. Now, I imagine Slip's probably in there that fans are going to absolutely love that one, right?
Oh, Slip has to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I'm loving playing it live, and just the fact that it's doing what it's doing on radio right now, it's I feel like I would disappoint myself if I didn't play it. So it's definitely gonna be in the mix. And
gotta be a fun one to play.
It is, it really is. And I love the show that we've built. I think it's this whole from start to finish, the whole show is pretty wild. It's pretty killer.
How many songs do you play in your set?
It depends on the night. But we're trying to do, you know, between 6 and 8.
Oh, nice.
Depends on how the flow goes, but it's rapid fire. It's high energy through the whole thing. And yeah, it's just kind of a good kickoff to the year.
Get you started, you know, getting ready for those festivals. You've got some great dates coming up too. So let's do the 27th is in what, Ottawa for this?
We start in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then we pop down to Toronto and then London.
Nice.
This weekend. My hometown in Vancouver after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait to play. I mean, I'm a huge, you know, not that we're having a tough go right now, but a huge Vancouver Canucks fan.
Yes.
And the simple fact that I get to finally take the stage in my, what I consider my local barn, is going to be really fun.
Nice.
And then we do Edmonton, Calgary, Lethbridge, Regina, Winnipeg. So a nice, kind of quick, but a nice opportunity to see a bunch of Canada again and make some noise while we're at it.
Nice. And that's going to get everybody geared up for some new music too, but also gives, you know, just letting that EP just stick with us a little bit longer since we all love it so much. I'm still going to be playing it. You know me. I'm still.
Oh, that's the hope. I appreciate it though.
It goes on my top list when I do it at the end of the month for songs that I love for the month. It still gets added in there. It's just something that I absolutely love with it. Okay. So I have a few burning questions, if that's okay. I don't know how much time you've got. Are you okay with that?
No, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I won't bug you too much. All right. So biggest fear you've had to conquer to date so far?
Being real, being transparent. I think, and it's an unknowing fear.
Okay.
You know, it's as you, this is kind of what, going back to earlier, it's a personal development process, right? It's
mm-hmm.
trying to, as you start to learn how important it is to be real and how cathartic it is for yourself as a person, but how much better connections can be with random strangers if you're just, you know, you don't have to put the masks on that you think mm-hmm. you have to as an artist, as anything. But it's relaxed me as a human, just being, you know, what you see is what you get, and what I leave on the stage is who I am every day, as opposed to trying to be something that I think people want me to be.
Nice.
So it's been at least a 10-year, if not longer, journey.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been fun the last year trying to just kind of reaching that spot.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, just having your personal life so amazing right now with your beautiful wife, and just, it's amazing how happiness can really help you face a lot of the fears too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And mm-hmm. and having the support around you, my wife, obviously, I've known, we've been friends for 10 years before and only married 3 and dating 5. You know, she's been such an important piece to my entire world.
Oh, that's nice.
But then everybody else that I'm involved with, it's just, there's no one there's not a single person that I go, you know, things might be easier if this person wasn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know, having great people in your corner is game changing.
It is in all avenues, like when it comes to the music industry as a whole, your peers, as well as, you know, country radio, everybody has been really rooting for you when it come to when you started out on this journey. I was one of them, and amazing journey.
And without the support, it's the only reason that I've got a chance to keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody involved.
I can't wait for the next 5 years, what you're capable of and how many podiums you're going to get up on and how many awards you're going to be taking home.
You know, as long as I get a chance to keep being behind a mic and, you know, have a guitar in my hands, I'm doing something right.
Favorite custom guitar, favorite guitar that you would love to own?
Oh, God. I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan's number one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the one he refers to as his first wife, that guitar to me is, as far as I know, his brother Jimmy's got it. But this, that guitar is the history, the stories behind it, the
Can you
I would never play
imagine?
it. I would simply look at it. That's
Ugh.
one of those. That's one of those pinnacle. Like, I don't know. That would be the biggest trophy I think I could ever look at.
Your wife might turn around and say, okay, the guitar cannot go in the bed. It has to go somewhere else.
It
Okay.
would. I would buy a second bed for
She'd be holding on to it like a
it.
pillow.
I would.
Oh, I'm telling you, that would be so
Absolutely.
awesome, wouldn't it? To just to the
Oh.
history behind that guitar. Oh,
Yeah.
stories it would
Yeah.
tell. Stories it would tell. Favorite Stevie Ray Vaughan song.
I gotta go to a classic, Texas Flood. It's just such a gritty. I mean, Wind Cries Mary, his version's amazing. Lenny is one of those songs that I think everybody. Well, I mean, John Mayer really brought it into the main day too. Like if you listen to some of his live versions of playing Lenny, there's lots. But the Texas Flood, just
One
for
that
some reason,
stands
that's
out. That's
quintessential SRV to
amazing.
me.
Do you remember the first song you ever learned to play on guitar?
It was the reason I play guitar today was because of when I was in grade 7, we had a elementary school graduation, and the teachers thought it would be a good idea for the graduating kids to do Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I just wanted to learn how to play guitar for it. Long story short, it was because there was a girl involved that I had a
I
crush on, and
figured.
somebody else had, you know, that was in the mix was playing guitar in this, so I felt like I had to as well. Long story short, I had 4 weeks to learn. I didn't really learn that quickly that well, but that lit the fire under me at that
Nice.
age, and I've never put a guitar down since. And that's kind of the
Very
reason I,
cool.
you know, that's why I do it today.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, how would you describe Sean Austin's music today?
Ever evolving. I think it's got all of the cliches that you would think from a Sean Austin song. Like I still think a lot of people connect me with Paradise Found because of how wild that was out of the gates. So there's that kind of summery mid-tempo, I guess John Mayer-ish vibes to it. But now that we're at this stage in my career, that there's we're getting outside of the box a lot, and I don't. I'm certainly. I wouldn't call myself a cutting edge country artist, but I'm definitely in that new country sound. That's
So popular.
still, yeah, still. I really. It's important to me to really be true to traditional country, because it's. I grew up on so much of that, and it's so much of who I am. But I like to try to be fresh and like I was saying before, it's just trying to be authentic, and it's the version of country that I think I am and that I like to play.
Nice. Okay. Favorite song of all time and why? Any genre.
Of all time. Oh, that list, I don't know if I can boil it down to one.
It's got to be one that moved you emotionally, that moved you so much and stood out to you.
Oh, wow. I've got like 1,000 songs going through my head, and I'm trying to picture one that's the, well, Eric Clapton's Change the World has been a
Nice.
song that's in my local community as I was coming up for many years through high school and playing in restaurants and bars after high school, and that song has connected me with a lot of people, and been a really, I guess, important one for me to build the foundation of who I am, maybe.
Well,
I've done
that's pretty
compositions with that
special.
song. Yeah, I've made friends because of that song. You know, and maybe I do this now today because of that song. I had an
Nice.
opportunity way back when to do a show called Variety's Got Talent, which was a
Oh, gosh,
Vancouver
yeah. Yeah, I forgot
based
about that.
show. And that was when I first met Bruce Allen. And we had a great long conversation after that show and that event. And I played Change the World at that event. And it kind of, he gave me so much influence and so much insight in 5 minutes that redirected my thoughts on how to take a shot at this career. And thankfully it worked out
great
so far.
What was the advice he gave you?
He goes, there's, because at the time I was just playing, it was just me and an acoustic. I've always been a huge Bublé fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of playing with doing a Great American Songbook project and kind of trying the crooner thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's heard both of my stuff. And he goes, yeah, of course you can do it. Sounds great. Really, really tough world to be in. Just because that space isn't there's not the most openings in that world.
Very unique.
That he goes, what you do well and what you do that, even though there's 1,000 people that hold a guitar and sing behind a mic, he goes, there's something, you have a little more of an X factor in this world, mm-hmm. in that space. He goes, find somebody young and hungry who you can work with. And he goes, that was the first time that it ever really went into my head. He goes, take everything else away and just play the music that you want to play. It has to be what you want to play.
Perfect
advice.
And
then when you figure that out, and that's, you know, he's going to the authenticity thing. Like, it's just, if you can impart being who you are as a real person,
mm-hmm.
you hope that the rest falls into place.
I think it's such a wise piece of advice, because you can't predict, if you're writing for yourself and you're writing for what you love in music, you will always be a success. It doesn't matter whether the song gets on the radio or doesn't get on the radio. It's just, you are being authentic to yourself and something that means something to you. I think when everybody tries to fit radio or tries to, you know, adjust their craft to that, that's when they lose themselves. And it's stripping it all back and remembering to always play, because you got to play it 50 years from now.
That's the hope.
Like, when you're getting on the stage years from now, you're going to be playing it. And then your grandkids, you know, when you think about your children and you think about grandchildren, that legacy that you're leaving behind, it's a pretty cool concept when you think that far in advance of how many songs that you are going to release. If they meant something to you, guarantee they're going to touch base with somebody else out there. And, you know, it can go on for generations, right?
Yeah.
Songs that influenced us, you know?
I mean, and that's why I say it, as long as, if I can stand on the stage for as long as I can in my life, that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter the size of the stage. I just want to be surrounded by people who love music, and whatever level that looks like, obviously the bigger the better, but when it boils down to it, it's playing, and like you said, the small, you know, 20 person venue, and just that intimate thing, where it really boils down to just the music. That's, you can't beat that. And
where it
and
all begins, right?
The longer I can do that, then I've done, I feel like I'll be satisfied.
Let's give a shout out to a local pub or bar, wherever you started this journey, that really believed in you and
it was,
means something to you.
Yeah. It was the Village Tap House in West Vancouver.
Nice.
There was a 4-year period there where I was playing there 2-3 nights a week. And it is, so many things hinged from those years. From Dallas coming there to watch me for the first time, from I met my wife there, from all the great families I got to meet who invited me into their homes because they hired me to play an event for them, to, you know, just learning how to be a performer, learning how to set up gear, you know, just, there's so many things from those years, just learning how to grind. I was working 9 to 5 every day, playing 10 shows a week. But then when I went to the Village Tap House, I was surrounded by nothing but friends, and it was this safe, easy place to try to become a musician.
lose yourself in the music you love. Nice. Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one dream location, now that the borders and everything have opened up for Canadian artists, what is one dream location that you would love to perform music anywhere in the world?
I think this one's going to be a little cliche. Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Just,
okay.
There's something about that one that I think if you ever get the opportunity to play that room, you've reached a certain level that I think it's one of those milestone goals that I think most artists have. That being said, we're getting a little bit bigger, but the O2 Arena, the Troubadour, there's so many places soon playing Rogers Arena in Vancouver, like I said, that's a huge bucket list place for me.
Very cool.
But I think MSG is going to be, if I can play there, that'll be a personal win. A big
nice.
One.
Very, very nice. Now, thank you so much for allowing me to ask you some of those questions, because I just like to be able to just dig in a little bit deeper. One place that you would love to take your wife? That's the last one.
Oh, we've had a lot of plans for a lot of years to go to Europe. Go through Venice and Greece and all over, and we haven't obviously been able to travel much, so it's in the works. We're going to be there hopefully soon.
That would be such a special place for you guys to go. It's one of my dream places, because I love the buildings. I just love the feel of the whole place. And
there's something about history.
Yeah,
it's very cool there.
Also, the food would be so amazing.
Yes.
So amazing.
Yeah, our relationship's built on wine, so that's a big part of it.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll definitely do it. Okay, so you are kicking off 2023 this weekend in Ottawa with the Old Dominion's No Bad Vibes Tour. And that's going to be amazing. And you've got a couple show dates. Where's the best place for people to go? Ticketmaster for tickets?
Yeah, Ticketmaster or I'm sure we've got I believe we've got a few links on my website. It's kind of the springboard for everything. Ticketmaster.
And for everybody listening, it's Sean with a W in there. So that way, if you're looking it up and you're trying to find a link for that, you got to make sure you're spelling the name right.
Yeah, okay. I got actually, I don't know what the origins of my version of spelling is, but I've heard some people say it's Irish. Some people say it's Old English.
I think it's Old English.
Know.
Yeah.
Old English. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, and you're going to have to take a little bit of a trip to England there.
I do it in a heartbeat.
Ah, yes.
In a second.
They would love you there. Absolutely love you there. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you've got some other shows that you've got. You've got Hagersville Rock Music Festival on July 14th and 15th, and you're going to be doing that too. Tell us about that.
We got a few dates that we're starting to announce. Hagersville is going to be great. We're opening for Jess Moskaluk.
Nice.
And I just, it's summertime festival, summertime shows. I did a show with Jess this past summer that was great. A little bit of a smaller event. So this one will be fun because we're bringing out all the bells and whistles for it. And then there's there's a few more dates that we're starting to get
trickle out,
ready to announce, and a few more that we're just finalizing details on. And it's going to be a good summer. We're going to be all over Canada, all over again, and just getting back at it and with full steam.
I cannot wait. Congratulations on the Old Dominion tour. You are going to kill it out there. And I need my Sean Austin fix pretty please. New music coming very soon. I really need it.
It's on the way, I promise.
All right. You take care of yourself. And thank you so much for coming back on the show. And I'll have you back on when that new music comes.
I appreciate it so much. Okay. I can't wait to chat more.
I can't wait to do a live in again to get back to some full circle moment for you and for me.
Yeah, we need to.
That's
definitely
right. Okay, you take care of yourself, okay?
You
enjoy
too.
Yourself this weekend.
I appreciate it. All the best.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Sean Austin, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows that are coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Runaway Angel. That's right, they are back and I cannot wait. I've also got Kadoo. I'll be interviewing Kim Burley from the Rock Icons Stampeders. I'll be doing a two-part series for the Rock Icons Lighthouse. Also, Madeline Merlot, Shantaya, Anthony Tulo, Anne Vrend, NBC Voice finalist Bodie will be coming on the show. We've got Griffin Palmer, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all of my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sierra. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Sunlight starts the morning. Morning brings a kiss. Will I hear for a minute, just like this, just like this. Heartbeats break the silence. You ask me what's on my mind. Same things today. I met you right around this time. Midnight gets to get moonlight. Summer gets to get rain. Heaven gets to get angels. Moments get to get me. I'm the lucky one that gets to love you like crazy.